In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated, won't you? Jesus tells Nicodemus, "The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes." This is actually one of my favorite lines in Scripture about the wind, which is the same word for spirit, blowing where it wants to, and no one knows where it comes from. No one knows where it goes. It's something that just has stayed with me as an image, that unknowable, moving, blowing spirit, kind of somewhere in creation, blowing around, doing something inconceivable, incomprehensible, but visible in some way because we see it moving other things. Something powerful that Jesus shared. I think it's an interesting image, and it's reminded me this week of another phrase that you might be familiar with. Have you ever heard the expression, someone who knew which way the wind was blowing? We use this to describe people sometimes, right? We sort of say like, oh, they knew which way the wind was blowing. Sometimes it's a celebration, right? We kind of are lifting up somebody who saw something coming and dodged it, right? Like they found some better consequence for themselves by switching their behavior or switching their team. They knew which way the wind was coming and managed to avoid something. And sometimes it's sort of said very negatively, right? They saw which way the wind was blowing and wound up switching sides. This is something we say about traitors, right? Or people who give up their ideals to get themselves safe and kind of get on down the road. But I think either way, a lot of times when you hear that expression, there's something really human about it. And sometimes I think there's something tragic about it. Because knowing which way the wind was blowing often means somebody gave something up. They let go of a conviction. They let go of a position. They let go of a side they were on because they saw that the wind was going to change it or destroy it. However things were going to turn out, they weren't willing to keep standing where they were. It's really, really human to want to know. It's really, really human to want to know how things are going to end up. We kind of want to know the end results of things without going through all the process sometimes. When I was in high school, we would call this looking in the back of the book. Right, which is where the answer keys were. We like to do that. I mean, we get frustrated, we get tired, we just sort of want to skip ahead to the answer. We'd love to know. We'd love to not have to take risks, right? We'd love to not have to take the chance that something might not go our way. We want to avoid the danger. We want to avoid the frustration or the pain. Sometimes we just want to avoid the weariness of a lot of work going into something and just skip ahead. If only we knew which way the wind was blowing. Hard thing. And yet that's the image that Jesus gives Nicodemus, right? No one knows which way the wind is blowing. No one knows where the wind comes from. And that gets at a different frustration that we have, right? Where does the wind come from? Well, the wind comes from God. And if only we could see that clearly, right? If only we could see clearly God, the Father of Jesus. If only we could see clearly God, the Creator of the world. If only we could see clearly what it is that God wants us to be doing. If only we could see clearly which candidate God wants us to vote for or what job God wants us to take. If only we could see clearly whether God wants us to reconcile with our family members or whether it actually is their fault this time. If only we knew which way the wind was blowing. If only we knew where the wind came from. If only we knew, then we wouldn't have to do that hard work of taking a leap of faith now and then. The life of faith is always a leap, isn't it? Sometimes I want to yell at Jesus about this. The life of faith is always caught up in these taking leaps. We see that the wind is going by, and we've just got to grab hold and trust that it's going somewhere good. We see the wind blowing by, and we've just got to grab hold and risk everything, because it might take us far, far, far away from where we are now. It might make us change our hearts and our minds in ways that we don't want to. In ways that are frustrating, or ways that hurt sometimes. Our very lives are at stake when we risk hearing the gospel of Jesus. Our very lives and the patterns of our behavior, the things that we take as granted, the things that we think of as normal, it can all go up in the air. It can all get caught up in a wind. Something Midwesterners are fairly familiar with, right? And the images that we have of winds can be destructive. They can be terrifying. They can blow away everything. There are some dangerous winds out there, and none more dangerous than this Holy Spirit. Because it really can change everything, and it can do it more than once. The things that you are absolutely sure are true about God, about Scripture, about church, about other people, can all go up in the air. You can realize that you've been called to love in a way that you didn't understand earlier, but the things that you're convinced of right now might not be exactly right. You might not know which way the wind is blowing. I might not know. And it's terrifying. It's frustrating. It makes it really, really hard to keep taking those leaps of faith. There's an image I have in my head automatically associated with the words leap of faith, and I blame it on Steven Spielberg. I think many people of my generation, and perhaps one or two before mine, hear a leap of faith and they think of that scene in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, the third Indiana Jones movie. And if you haven't seen it, I'm sorry, it's a spoiler, but you've had some time. But Indiana Jones, this man of science, this man of hard facts, this guy who's really, really good at going and debunking religious mysteries and finding the clues, he's better than Nicolas Cage. Indiana Jones will go around the world and find old religious stories and try to figure out the truth of them. And in the third of his movies, he's looking for the Holy Grail, a cup that can heal, a cup that can grant life. And the stakes have become high when he's finally found the temple of it. Somebody's dying, and he has to get the cup back to them. And he's going through these trials that are meant for the faithful. He's sort of figured out the biblical clues for a couple of very physical traps, and then he gets to the third one. And the third one is a leap of faith. That's the final trial to get to the chamber of the Grail. And if you've seen the movie, you'll know that there's this big chasm stretching out ahead of him, and he looks around for any kind of mechanism, he looks around for any kind of device, and there's just nothing to see. All there is left to do is stay or jump. And he cannot figure it out. His mind cannot comprehend it. His cleverness, his trickery, his intelligence, none of that does him any avail. And ultimately, he has to just make a decision, staring off across this chasm, which shows him that he will clearly fall, that he will clearly die if he leaves the ledge he's standing on. But somebody's life's at stake, and so he jumps. And he steps out with his foot, and immediately it smacks down onto something firm. And the camera pans around, and you see in this optically disorienting moment that there is a small, narrow bridge that's been there all along that has been carefully painted to look like the wall on the other side. The trap has been laid to test the faith of people, and it's been painted to look as if there's no path forward. You have to jump, and only then do you realize that the path's been there all along. I think this image is wonderfully clever. I think this goes much farther than Steven Spielberg might have intended it to. I think it's a beautiful image of faith. That notion that sometimes when you jump, the path's there and you just can't see it because of where you're standing already. Maybe you've seen these sort of things, sidewalk art, that if you stand in a certain place, there's a 3D illusion or something like that. You can find pictures of them on the internet now in this day and age. But in that movie, that's what he had to do. He had to jump forward. And once he did, once he was able to cross a path, he was able to pick up sand and kind of cast it backwards over the path to make it easy for other people to see. But somebody had to jump first. The trouble with faith is it's always like that. The world's very, very good at painting over the paths of faith and making it look like if you try this, you're surely a fool. The world's very, very good at painting the paths of faith to look as if there's nothing there. They found colors that make it look that way. They found paints and pigments that seem to hide it all away. They found perspectives that make it seem as if the life of faith is empty and gone and there's nothing there. There's no path and there never has been. But it's an illusion. There always is a path forward for those who are willing to jump. It would be great if we knew which way the wind was blowing, but we don't always. Nicodemus, the man who went and visited Jesus in the gospel we hear today, was a Pharisee, he was a lawgiver, he was an important guy. He was somebody that the world had built up. Everything about his life told him how important he was. Everything about his life told him how righteous he was. Everything about his life told him that he had faith figured out. And people would turn to him and ask him questions so that he could share it with them. But something about this man Jesus, who had been traveling and speaking in his country, something about the message of the gospel, got to Nicodemus and stuck for him. One of the things that I love about the story of Nicodemus is he's willing to make sort of a leap of faith, but he's not willing to do it publicly, right? He has to go in the middle of the night. He can't quite trust himself to just go listen to Jesus. He kind of sneaks over sometime. And there's a wonderful image of the hospitality of Jesus in this, because Jesus could have said, "I'm sorry, we're closed for the evening." Jesus could have said, "I need my rest. I've got a crowd of 5,000 people to feed with bread and wine, or bread and fishes tomorrow, and we've only got the two fish." Jesus could have said, "If you can't acknowledge me openly, why bother acknowledging me at all?" But Jesus doesn't say any of those things. Jesus opens the door. Jesus sits with this man in quiet and talks to him as he would talk to anyone. And they talk about who God is. They talk about where God comes from. They talk about what it's like to know God. And Jesus talks about the kind of risks that faith requires, the kind of trust that faith requires. Jesus shares that the Father is like him. The message from God is a message of love. God has so loved the world that he sent his Son, Jesus, down into it, to be a part of it, to bear witness in it, to ultimately give his life for it. Nicodemus left that conversation. We don't know exactly where his mind or his heart were right away. But something stuck. Something grew. One of the seeds took and planted in him. And later in the story, Nicodemus would step out into the sunlight and associate himself with Jesus. And he would do it at the most foolish possible time. Nicodemus is the man who would step forward and ask that the body of Jesus be taken down from the cross. Nicodemus is the man who would pay for the ointments and the oils and the pleasant fragrances to anoint the body of Jesus as if he were a king. Nicodemus chooses to make his public declaration and confession of faith. Nicodemus chooses to stand with Jesus when it seems like the message has lost. He chooses to stand with Jesus when it seems like the story is over. Nicodemus chooses to recognize Jesus in the moment when even Peter can't. But he does it. He takes that leap of faith, and as it turns out, that was exactly where the wind was blowing all along. As it turns out, Nicodemus wound up on the right side, the winning team, the place where the story was going to be true and alive and compelling forever. It was a foolish thing to do. It was a risky thing to do. He just seized a whirlwind to see what would happen. But that's what we're always called on to do. Now, in our own lives, I don't think faith often feels quite that dramatic. The leaps that we're required to take are smaller ones. They don't often have the same kind of stakes. It's not always life and death for us. But it is life and death in a certain way, in that the life that's there on the other side, if we take that leap, is such a good life. The gifts that God has for us, the blessings that we can see from that perspective once our foot's out on the path, are such rich and abundant things. Life is so beautiful. Life is so tender and precious. Life is such a gift once we can see with a little more perspective. If only we can take that first leap of faith. My prayer for you is that you can find some moment, some way to be like Nicodemus. And maybe it means being public and confessing the faith that you have. Maybe it means finding somewhere to go in the middle of the night and say, "I have questions. I can't quite believe." Maybe it means talking to a trusted friend or somebody who seems to know more. Maybe it means waiting for somebody else to leap and then seeing where they scatter some sand backwards to show you where there is a step or two. But somewhere out there, there's a place in your life where you can take a leap to make your faith deeper. Somewhere in your life, there's a place where you can grab hold of that whirlwind. The Spirit is moving. We don't know where it's come from. We don't know where it's going ultimately. But I can tell you the ride is worth it. I can tell you that the destination will be beautiful. I can tell you the work might be hard, but the reward is going to be worth it all. May you find a place in your life to seize that wind. May you find a place to see the wind moving in creation now. And may you take a risk without knowing where the wind's blowing. All these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.